start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our opportunity and time together today to study, to look at your word. We thank you that out of our days we can come aside, we can meet with each other, we can have a sense and awareness of each other's presence, and especially yours, Lord. We ask you to knit our hearts and minds and spirits together as we would study. Quicken your word to us now by your precious spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, okay. Today's study, you guys, is in front of us. I don't really have a discussion point, although I think I might have added one. We'll have to see, or I added an extra song. The world has gone by so fast in the last couple of days that we'll land this plane together. And then we're moving on to prayer from our insights. We started prayer last time, and we put some stuff down for that prayer module. We're going to squeeze it into that little box that then can be put in the chart so it looks balanced and also forces us to be more concise in our thinking. So we'll have that challenge, and then we'll hopefully be able to move on to the first part of doing the quad, the other four epistles, where we start to look at parallel passages, topics, and the concepts that John brings out that Paul might have in mind, but might put pen to paper in a little different way with different word usage and so on, and might give us a little insight from a different point of view. So that's going to be our agenda today. Here's our paragraph. We're coming to, I would think inside of a month or two, we'll be at the end of that one.
A month or two?
Well.
At this, just the one we're on.
Just the paragraph we're on, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted to encourage us a bit, that's all. Mm-hmm. Well, in the sense of we're looking down the depth and wonder of the Lord's word, and it's unending, and we're experiencing that
right.
You keep discovering stuff inside of these little red boxes.
True enough.
Tis it tis. All right, we will keep going here. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right, once again, we are on number 4. We're going to move to number 5 today. That's kind of a goal. We're running a bit behind, but I think we can do all right. We passed insights. We are into prayers coming up. This box. All right, let me read the paragraph and then we'll review what we have for prayers. And again, once again, prayers are pretty open-ended. I won't go through all the types of prayer and so on, but the Lord may bring to mind something in the content of this paragraph that one's mind, heart, or spirit might inquire after. The Holy Spirit's the one, of course, that we would take that to, as he is the one who also motivates us and woos us and holds us and unfolds the truth to us in regard to the wonderful life that we have. And so we'll bring an awareness and a content to the subject here. He also, in the context of leaving us here on planet Earth, as after we became saved individuals and members of the household of God, it takes joy in the opportunity to share his life with all those he brings us into contact with as we walk this earth. And the content that's discovered, the content that was discovered in the paragraph that John would unfold, can be stuff that the Lord might give his insight into then sharing with somebody else in reference to the wonders of knowing this man, Christ Jesus, and participation with eternal life. So as way of background, let me read the paragraph. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another and not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not wonder, brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. Amen. All right, in the prayer box on to the right side there in the green, we have put some of our thinking, stuff that we've gleaned from the paragraph in regard to formulating an approach to or specific types of prayers that we might solicit the Holy Spirit with. First one is have mercy and give understanding to those that do not have eternal life. Reflection, we might bring to mind how we arrived at that. Second one, thank you for doing it, the above, in to me. In other words, giving us an understanding. That indeed, it's hard to press us if we actually were in pursuit of eternal life, at least in a conscious awareness. Usually, most folks come with a testimony and a proclamation of almost being driven to God underneath the guilt of sin or misery. Or I mentioned, I think, quite a few months back, an apologetics an older one. I think it came out of the 1930s, written by a man's last name was Carnell. And the apologetical approach he had was the universal affliction of mankind in soul sorrow, that every single human being is immersed in a sorrowful soul and perplexity because we are separated from the one that made us. And he does a pretty good job in the context of presenting the faith, which would be the apologetical aspect. Okay. So does anybody want to add something as far as a prayer of some sort that we might pull from this paragraph or enhance what we have there? Our goal today is to put at least what we have there or some other items together into a box about the size of the one down here. Prayers here. Now we can reduce the font, the type size, get quite a bit in there, but try to put it into that so it can be a kind of a component for an outline header in reviewing and coming back to the epistle. So we'd go through these boxes, then the bullet boxes, and insights and bullets, and then into the mains, and then into the paragraph. So that's what these are for. That's enough me babbling and giving introduction to where we're at. You guys are well aware where we are, so let's hear some prayers. Not being a pulpit pounder, that'd be a PP for a type of ministry. We are going to approach this, waiting for... anybody know some history of the Quakers?
No.
How their meetings were formed and how they went forward and so on?
No.
Nobody?
Nope.
You familiar with, I think it's Fox's Book of Martyrs. Wasn't he a Quaker? I think he was. Where the Quakers came from? Why they got the name Quakers? Unrelated to a cereal, of course.
You could tell us.
I could. That's not what today's session's about, though.
You brought it up.
Oh, you brought it up?
I did bring it up, but it's a segue from... mm-hmm. how we're going to approach it, hoping that it would land on someone who had some... familiarity with that. I did have a Quaker for a professor when I went to Hamline years and years and years ago, back in the 60s. And yeah, I didn't know that. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but later on found out he was and so forth, but and then discovered what the Quakers were and their meetings. The question I had about the meetings was, and they're not unique just to the Quaker folks, but usually you'd get statements like being moved by the Spirit might give you a hint into the Quakers context of how they might have meetings, if you want to think of a generic approach to it, where they would sit around and they'd actually wait for someone to be moved by the Spirit to get up to speak or to pray or to lead out or to share. And so that's the part I'm touching on. I'm waiting for we as a group to be moved by the Spirit to get some insight into this paragraph. It's not an assumption with us. We are tapped into the source of the paragraph, the Holy Spirit, who indeed is one of the joys of his heart is to bring us to the knowledge of the truth of this life and this person. So we're not sitting without a rudder in regard to that. All right. Usually a gasp of air signifies somebody's going
to shout. Right. I'm just trying to... Verse 18 really impacts me, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out words to put, you know, how to put it into words, that God's love would so move me to respond in action, not just in word and speech.
Yes.
It's something like that. Maybe you guys have different words for it, but. That Lord, that your love would so permeate me to respond in love and in action.
Yes, yeah. I think that's a kind of a white cap on a deeper wave in regard to the difference between word and speech, deed and truth. And then maybe some of what you were touching on there is not just deep inside you, but the life that is. Wanting to get out.
Right.
And that it looks like the indication is he would want to come out in deed and in truth.
Right.
And then it would in turn would be good to know, well, what's that look like, so to speak? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's put something down in regard to that. With a little sense of humor, we'll put something down. Okay. It's a happy Wednesday, March 1st. Okay, so let's push this, Marcia, a little bit in regard to the mind is somewhat usually distant, and we have to work our way to get words that would express what we're actually feeling about in regard to it, which most, go ahead.
Well, the phrase, you know, verse 17 kind of qualifies it some, like, because if you see a brother in need and you don't respond, you know,
how
can the love abide in him? Like we are so, the life in us is so full of love to just embrace people who are in need, and to deny that is not of God.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, you're doing good. We in our discussion over the course of several, it seems like a long time in this paragraph, we grouped 16, 17, and 18 together.
Right.
Because they have some tie that binds it. It has to do with, well, I think, out of 16. So we see 18 is an illustration of he's not, you know, laying down our lives for the brethren. Well, here's an example, as you just suggested, was 18. And then 17, also in the in that same context, yeah, indicating that life, if someone has life, life wants to express itself.
Right.
We could call it, he wants to express himself. And because that love abides, and he wants to come out recognizably as life, deed and truth, which separates it from what I guess what we might assume is empty words and speech without life.
Right. Yeah.
And so it seems together. So we might push all of that and see if we can summarize something.
To include all three verses.
Yeah, so when we put something down here, we've got 16, 17, and 18 in our minds being put together. So when we look back in reflection for review, we'd see, okay, yeah, this is a package phrase and or sentence which covers everything from laying down our lives for our brethren, which is a hard one to wrap our heads around in reference to, Lord, I'm ready. I got a sword in my hand. I'm going to jump into the pit with the wolves, as the Vikings did, you know, or something like that. The supply of the Lord gives us in our lives in sharing it with our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, and then in deed and in truth. So all of that, I mean, here's just an inadequate way, but one possible suggestion that we'd want to redo would be laying down our lives for our brethren, and that expression of the life that's within us can be as simple as going to the grocery store with our brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's simplex, but
right.
Mm-hmm.
And what is deed and truth? Well, I won't use the McDonald's cheeseburger thing again. That was used someplace else. You know, good. So the sharing one's life, and then it's in practical ways, not just sitting next to someone. It can be an embrace. It can be just as we see illustrated by Marsh and Harvey, I might suggest, the sharing of our precious time with someone in need who all just needs the presence of God, not necessarily words or actions, but someone that loves coming out of sitting with me.
Yeah.
From, and so you go halfway across the country, that's just in Canada, to go to BC. And that type of thing can be simple expression of deed and in truth, world's goods and so forth, but goes right down to this life I have is precious. Each moment is, I'm going to share and spend it with you, the receiver of that. It's not coming out of your head. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
But what they're receiving is with unspoken. It's just one's presence in life there. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, enough of that.
Yeah.
So, sorry to use you guys as an example, but it fit quite well.
Thank you.
Not that your brother and sister in Minnesota need that type of thing that often. But...
Well, they do. We're trying to get there.
Huh?
We're trying to get there. I'll talk to you about that after.
I tiptoed around that. We're trying to get up there too. We just haven't been able to.
Well, we're coming. I just don't have the date yet.
I heard rumor about that. Your time will be much appreciated. We'll just sit and soak up each other's presence.
Boy.
What a family. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's stick 16, 17, and 18 into a nice, concise little group of words that make sense to us. Prayers here.
Curtis, I'm waiting for you.
No, I'm trying to figure out how to make a short sentence here, but I hadn't come up with anything.
There's a lot in there trying to get all three verses.
It seems like one way we've tapped into this is all of us acknowledging that the Lord's life in us will, in a very practical way, express himself in love to our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
It's just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen.
Right.
And so we kind of need to be open to it. And so there could be a prayer, you know, Holy Spirit, please may open to, as you were saying, Marcia, to the movement of your life within me in the events of our days, so to speak.
There you go. Write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, no.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
We all.
That's what I was trying to say.
This isn't Marky's page. This is our page. I got something down. I wrote that. Right there.
Right.
So yeah, let's don't quote what I said. Let's take it, mull it over a little bit, and then each one of us kind of say it. You know, or mutually say it.
Okay, how about? Laying down our lives indeed in truth as he lives in us.
Yeah. All right. I'll write that down. I'll write that down and then let's come back to the first part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Curtis, it was laying down our lives, right?
Yes.
Laying down our lives. As he lives in us?
No, indeed and truth.
Oh, indeed and truth. As he lives in us?
Yes.
As he lives in us. Laying down our lives, indeed and truth, as he lives in us. Okay. Only reason I preface that with and go come back to the first part was, the laying down our lives, where's that come from? Because he touches on we ought as he did, we ought, and so it's the same life as he has, we ought, and the closing of the heart, so we're talking about the opening of the heart or keeping it open, and the abiding, throughout the paragraph, of course, is of the abiding and who and what we are. So unless all that's implied in laying down our lives, I always just wonder, could we make those four words some sort of phrase or words that would just go one notch, grab a little bit more of why we'd want to do that or are doing that and so on. I think he points
Which four words?
Laying down our lives. I think the paragraph indicates that as we've been talking, and as you suggested, Marcia, there's life within us that wants to get out.
Right.
And he's showing us that.
Okay.
He's showing, and we have this life.
Yeah.
And so
the prayer has to be about full freedom for him to lay down his life or love the brother.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
It isn't really that we
Yeah. I don't think it is that we choose to lay down our life. It's such a power within us that it happens. Right?
Yeah, the whole epistle is done away with choice.
Yeah.
Because we become his children.
That's right.
And what he wants us to see is he is so resident in us that not only is he ours, he's my life.
Yeah.
His life wants his life is it will go out. He wants to get out. That's what he does.
Right.
And it isn't for us to choose to let him out.
No.
We've yielded and surrendered to him. Now I know this is a level or two above I surrender because of sin, or I surrender because I want to get away from the world, or I surrender because I have love for you. Now it's a recognition of the life we have, because he repeats in this paragraph also, you know, we know. And it has to do with we know his life. We know him. We know what he's like. And he's giving us examples of that. And also where it doesn't exist, closing your heart. It's an indication of that life isn't there. And he's given its indication, this life is there, and this is what I'm like, so to speak. Okay, well, we're good. We're doing good. So that's all I was suggesting, laying down our lives, is kind of doing something with that in the sense of recognizing there's no choice. So I've already laid my life down, right?
Yeah.
So what would we pray for? If it's freedom or the Holy Spirit to take obstacles out of the way, or if there are any,
freedom for his full expression of himself in laying down or in love to the brethren or love.
So something like express your life in unhindered freedom.
Unfettered freedom for you to fully express your life through me, in me, and through me. Something shorter, maybe.
Okay, so our prayer would be, we'll use different words, but praying for him to have freedom to express himself in us and through us. Let's just take that for a second. We might turn that into more of well, it can go two ways. One is, and we've seen scriptures indicate this earlier in our Christian lives, and of course we would still, Lord, search my heart and know. So, you know, is there any sin in me and things like that? Is there any way I'm a hindrance to you? Is there any way I'm holding you back? Is there any way, you know, that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there any way, then another thing we need to open up ourselves to is in this epistle, was it ever mentioned about deception or darkness or there's a lack of awareness? Now we're dealing with the awareness here as he continues to bring us to an awareness. But is there deception in the epistle anyway? Does the Holy Spirit speak to us in any way about deception? Can anybody remember 5 chapters? First 2 we've covered pretty thoroughly. Mm-hmm. He does talk about light and darkness, second paragraph, chapter 1, right? He's light in darkness. They're walking in darkness. Chapter 2, a little later on, there's that bit about, let me go there instead of screwing up a paraphrase. Yeah. Where are we at? Yeah, here, 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light, in it there's no cause for stumbling. He who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And I'm thinking of that in the context of kind of deceived into darkness or not understanding and knowing who we are, of which that's what the Holy Spirit's dealing with in this epistle for us. If maybe you don't see my segue over to this from, is there any way that we're not seeing what we should see? Is there any way we're not in the light? So is there room for prayer in regard to this, in regard to light? I think above we prayed for understanding. Here. So maybe we don't need it in here, but all right. So rephrase what you had going there, Sonia.
Oh boy.
See, that's tough when you put that on someone.
Well, no. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you could pray that the Holy Spirit be free in me to, you know, to fully express your life, or be free I pray for freedom for you to, how do we do that? For you to fully express your life?
Well, here's another thing we could, another thing we could tie into this. One is understanding it and free of deception or dark, seeing what's really true in reference to this. The other one is the holy boldness. And this will get some of the quad stuff, but holy boldness, the confidence, the full assurance of faith. So we're so grounded in his life that we know not only his sufficiency, but the desire of his own heart as we come into life's events. It's just natural to us, i.e. we have his nature from paragraph above. And and so we know, we come to a place in the epistle where we actually know we've passed out of death into life, verse 14. We know we have that life. We know the desires of his heart are this. So do we need help understanding that, or a holy boldness to not really, we're saying not really necessarily choose, but to act upon it. In other words, exercise our being in confidence. So there's another part of this, the deed and in the truth as he lives in us. So it's not quite as passive, not that it was passive, in the sense that he wants to go forth, Lord, be totally free in me to go forth. Yes, indeed. But the thing about our Lord and the life he's given us is he hasn't left us on the side to be pulled along like a wagon. He's engaged us, and we've become one with him in participation, co-participation in his person and his life, so that when he wants to do and be, we also experience a wanting to do and to be. Do we have the confidence and assurance that it's that we are one with him to such a degree that we can safely go forward with that? Does that make sense? This is kind of what he wants the confidence us to get to in reference to, indeed, you have eternal life. Now go forth and live with all the holy boldness that he says to us, I am. Now, hopefully that makes comprehensive sense.
Well,
so that, then, let me ask that question, Sonia. That's what I'm thinking in the sense of part.
Yeah. Well, then, and then, okay, because I'm coming from a place of realizing that if anybody's got the life of God, it's me and you and you and you. Wherever we are, we have the life of God. So do we need more awareness then? Make me, you know, alert and aware to of your desire to be free to come out in, you know, I don't know.
No, right. Well, that's part of the prayer. Lord, help us to know. But here's one more thing I'm going to tag on. I won't take us too far afield. This will be it for maybe for today. Going to it. That's confidence. All right. So it'd be looking at him. If we look at him, and let's say Sermon on the Mount stuff, or story of Jesus' life on earth, and whatever gospels you happen to look at, or in reflection, and some other indications in the epistles, what did he do? Because it's the same thing. He's describing his life to us. We have the same life he has. He walked around on earth doing 16, 17, and 18.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what do we see there? So just one suggestion. One of the things we do see is, how did he interact with people? What did he do to engage people? How did he interact? There was one thing at least sticks out in my mind just as we discuss this, is his engagement in people is a lot of times he did this particular way of engaging people. He did something, a way of engaging them. And just to eliminate a few quick ones, he didn't run up right away and hug everybody.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm. And he actually many times was was elusive, and it isn't too often that we see him riding a donkey through Main Street. So it's not that. It's distant from that. How did he engage people when he was Sermon on the Mount stuff? And so he gave that stuff. But what did he put forth to provoke people that he would engage them with? What did he ask them?
What did he ask them?
Specifically what he asked them? He questioned them.
Yes.
To find out kind of where they were at. First.
Yeah, exactly.
So he could respond.
Exactly. He asked, what do you need? Yeah. What do you want? Who are you? And then after a while, who do you think I am? Yeah. And then he went, and those questions probed to a depth that is first immediate needs, and we see that in verse 17. And so what did he do then? He reacted with the events of their life.
Yeah.
And so he he didn't say, here I am to help you, and mm-hmm. then market himself. To
no.
them
no.
He engaged them in the life they're involved in and their inquiries, and because he had the life we have, because he was God, he could provide everything for them, but mm-hmm. he dealt with them where they thought they themselves were in regard right. to whatever the question happened to be.
Yeah.
That make, yeah, very good. And so can we learn something from that in reference to, well, is that appropriate here? Then laying down, we did already ask, kind of show us how to,
yeah,
but help us to see you. Well, is that help us to know? That's why I brought up the confidence and the holy boldness and who and what we are. And again, that was the fallback there, and the verification of that is that where John wants us to know to with such a confidence that indeed we have this life in its entirety, and it's a person, and we're one with him, and we co-share the existence. So let's just take one leap over that then and try to get to where Jesus was, as we just saw in reference to how he engaged people. What would keep us from that? The assumption there is it isn't an issue of how we can help them or what our provision would be for them or for them recognizing us. It would be some sort of engagement to bring them out of themselves and seeing who they are and what their state is or something. Anyhow, that's exploratory. All right, we've got more than enough now to squeeze that into here.
I think we have two or three statements.
Well, we're safe with I guess what I was pushing there for, what I was pushing in those comments for us was to push us a little bit. Are we at a place where we have that confidence? Again, we're in the middle of the epistle. John, by the end, is bringing us to that, and we'll have levels of it prior to that, of which we all are in experience of. Confidence in that life that's resident within us, and that indeed I do know God's mind. And that's where asking for, is there any darkness or is there any deception, would remove the fears or intrepidations or timidity regarding a stepping out with a holy boldness type of thing. Okay. We can leave it like that. If we're all happy to come back to this, seeing that, dear Holy Spirit, in my own prayer life, a lot of times I'll have this and picked it up from the Psalms and the Proverbs, is make a plain path before me as I go forward. You know, and that's the psalmist, make a plain path before me. And so in laying down our lives, if we come from that, make a plain path before me in laying down our lives, my life, in deed and in truth as you live in me. That's the assumption then that I'm right with you. I have your nature. I have your life. Indeed, I need greater comprehension and understanding. And I can put full trust and reliance in you to make a plain path before me in doing this. And then be open to the events of the day that the Holy Spirit will show me. The expression then of 16, 17, and 18 as the day, you know, we go through the day. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay, sure. So, all right. Well, we drove our sister from the room, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep, your work is completed.
Yeah, I guess I can close. All right.
She's back for more.
Okay, we're ready.
There was a buzzer going on upstairs, and Harvey's gone with the dog, so I had to go see what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all interested.
he was gluing a chair, and he has it sitting on the oven door, and the oven was on. And something about a timer or something. Anyway, I turned the oven off, so.
And put the chair in the oven.
It's sitting there drying the glue, I think.
Okay. Well, one assumes that upon seeing the chair when he gets in the house, he'll remember.
Let's hope so.
All right. Okay. So we went through an awful lot there, covered an awful lot of things that we will utilize in time to come as we look at this type of stuff. But have we in this paragraph gotten to a place where we're all comfortable with, yeah, I have the life of God. I have his nature. A lot of it's new to us, we might say. And this thing then about confidence and holy boldness comes down to, well, then how do you do that? And if we say, well, it's not a choosing, but it's a participation. Once again, I guess I'd point us to Jesus and his going out and asking mankind not everything from how are you, but expecting an expression of their needs expressed to God, depending upon whatever state they're in, that are we comfortable enough with that we would be comfortable in engaging others from that context? Rather than addressing me, I would look for God to so move others to share that with us, so that we would see laying down our lives for others is making ourselves he walked around, made himself available, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had the life. He knew they needed the life. He made himself available. He depended upon the Holy Spirit to so move a man or a person or a woman or a lady or a child to desire to reach out to God, and he was there to share.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense? So
yes.
Are we all comfortable in this paragraph with that, at least that concept?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. So so we don't gotta pray, make me comfortable in that. but what's another Psalms, Proverbs would give me eyes to see? Is that where a lot of time, you know, our hectic, busy lives can press upon us that all of a sudden the day's over and I hadn't taken time to what? Be aware of all that stuff the Lord's showing me he wants to share his life in with the neighbor or with the grocery store person or what, you know, I don't want to make this into some great big thing here, but
yeah.
So, laying down our lives. So let's just assume we're all about all of us in doing that anyways. We don't need to be told to do that. That's our life. That's our life.
Yep.
And we've learned that and experientially are aware of it. And so then we wouldn't necessarily have that then, but
I'd like a different expression than that, though, because that sounds like it's something that I'm doing instead of something that he's doing.
Okay.
I know. Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, it just sounds like something that I'm doing instead of something that he's doing. I know it's part of him living in me, but at the same, he's expressing himself, but at the same time.
Make me aware of how?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
From that perspective?
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds better.
Okay. So make me aware of how you want to get out. So make me aware of in deed and in truth. We don't need that as he lives in us because we've got that in make me aware. There's the assumption that we have his life. So we don't need that. And then we're going to change this to, let's just use make me aware temporarily. By aware, we mean in a spiritual context. What's this new? Anyway, make me aware. This is of how you want to express yourself in deed and in truth to my fellow men.
Yeah.
Which is way too many words. A short one is make me aware. Is and here's in the context that we're on life on earth. So make me aware of your life with my fellow men, you know, and which include brothers and sisters and then unredeemed. So but indeed and in truth
your life indeed and truth.
Say again?
Make me aware of your life in deed and truth.
Well, I...
Or that isn't...
No, that's good, but we took that as you live in me. We stuffed the awareness, we stuffed the knowing, experiential knowing we have,
right,
that we're his, that we have his life, we have his nature, and he will come out of us the way he wants to, and it's righteous, pure, true, holy, and the right thing to do type. You know, this is what he, who and what he is. But it's now make me aware of the practicality in deed and in truth. That narrows it down to your life up in Canada, our life down here in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
Sonia Curtis at work, you know, Sonia.
Right.
I don't know what she does. And then and me and I don't know what I do. But in our unique thing, each one of us part of the body, but each one of us on planet Earth are where he wants to express himself. And it isn't with the trees and it isn't with the rocks and it is in care of the animals, but it just is a side benefit to loving our fellow men. Right?
So how about this? How about make me aware of your expression indeed in truth.
Yeah, I like that. And by expression, I'm going to push you, Curtis. What do you mean?
of make me aware of your expression.
Right. What do you mean by expression?
I mean his
how his life is with fellow men.
Yeah, how his life desires to manifest itself indeed and true. How it desires to show itself or to come alongside, or how to strengthen, or how to, you know, what, or to love, or to whatever it is.
All right, so make me aware of your expression. Are we all agreement with Curtis for the expression?
Yeah.
Okay, so make me aware of your expression in deed and in truth. Now, let's bring Jesus back into the picture and what he did walking planet Earth. Indeed and in truth. So who's missing here, or at least who's assumed and stuffed into the expression? Deed and in truth is for who? Ain't for us, right?
Mm-mm.
Who's it for?
Our brothers.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's...
His creation.
Yeah, yes. His creation, but what unique part of the creation?
People.
Of all the entire created order, the PP, the pulpit pounders might say, of all the entire created order, we see in chapter 1 of Hebrews, he's going to roll up and remake what? Like a garment, what? Everything he made, except
the humans.
The humans. Somehow, but he does say something about his people. What has happened to them? They have been remade, recreated in
Christ Jesus.
All right. So indeed and in truth, expressed his life outward would be to those that are not, right?
Yeah.
Are not his children. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe we add that. We'll take this and we'll just make that, compress that down into a nice little phrase. Make me aware of your expression in deed and truth. We could say to mankind, if by it, you know, he's already done it with his people, but if we're going to use that rationale theologically, could kind of put he's already tasted death for every man already also, but they're not aware of it. Who's aware? You and I are aware that he tasted death for us,
right?
There are the vast majority do not aware of that. So make me aware of your expression in deed and in truth. So I'm struggling. Well, is it fallen man? Or generally speaking, we could say those in need of knowing you. We know him, but there are those that don't know you. So we could say deed and truth to those that don't know you. I'll put that down temporarily, then let's rephrase it. All right, what's wrong with that?
Well,
set the spell.
There's what about the? There's also the brothers and sisters that need a
kick in the butt.
The brothers and,
a kick in the butt.
Well, or just they need encouragement now and then, or just you know, some love, or just this or that.
Right. So that's why he's got that here, right?
Down their lives for the brethren, right?
Brethren, because as you suggest, Curtis, those that don't know you, we'd say aren't brethren. And this seems to be rather personal and confined to the body of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, there's room for more, but so that's the part that's left out, that those that do not know you. Although, unless we add what meaning to this word? because we could squeeze those of us that are in need of a revelation, understanding, encouragement, motivation, correction, whatever it happens to be, as a part of the of the know that John talks about in reference to his life. Right?
Yeah.
If we stuff all of that into the know here. But the questions Jesus asked wasn't necessarily that. It was to those that are right.
Well, that covers it.
Doesn't it? He has it over here in 17.
Yeah.
So the knowing here is intimate and personal to us. He wants all men to know him, as we see scriptures articulate. He's tasted death for all men. He knows that all men are in need of him. We are those that have been, currently are, and will always be in need of him. So this need goes beyond physical feeding and world's goods and deed and in truth. So that's all. This is pretty broad is what we're sticking it into there. So make me aware of your expression in deed and truth to those that are in need. I'm sorry. And in need is of him.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, then I would suggest that it's just one way to look at Jesus' life on earth as he walked and engaged the human race as he was with it on the planet their need was everything from healing to demons cast out to a slice of bread and a fish sandwich to eternal life. Is that sufficient for a prayer?
That sounds good.
Does it? Let's make it a little smaller. I think we might have it there. What do you think, guys?
I like it.
Are we all comfortable that we are in sync each other, that we know what we said, mm-hmm. What we mean by it?
Yeah.
If that was part of the final, each one of these little boxes, please unpack this box in two paragraphs. Multiple choice, pick any box, but anyway. Make me aware of your experience. I think we want to do it, think red, or should we leave it green? Let's do red for aware. Or no, let's do all of that in red.
Oh, you're a busy cat. How come you're so busy? Mm-hmm.
Are we good with that, you guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we need, I know there's a whole, now we've taken verses 14 through 18, and we've put it all into this. So we'd be confident that we could unpack this and segue to each one of these somehow with 1,000 words or less. We could relate it to each one of the bullet points that are in this paragraph. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we all could. All right. Well. It's a long ways from the first week of getting together, I'll have to say that. We'll copy that. We'll move it to here. All right. Now it's the quad. Any questions, you guys? Now, you know, that exercise we went through to arrive at this and so forth is I don't know if you've noticed, but we're doing that more frequently. And I think we're all getting a little bit more comfortable with the kind of the brainstorming and going off one way and coming back and seeing something's not quite right, we could hone it, or we could rephrase it, or we could maybe rethink it. So that's just the dynamic of what we're doing. Okay, ready to go on with the quad? We'll just stick our foot in. We've got a little time yet. And we'll start with Hebrews. Again, 1 John is part of the quad, but we're actually studying 1 John. So what we're looking for now is topics and concepts that have a relationship, could segue to, would be the same topic or concept, verbatim and or repeated or expanded or in different phrases or related to, could enhance, could further define, could hone a meaning or understanding of the topics and concepts we find in 1 John. So specifically this paragraph. And each paragraph we will are now doing this. And so what might we pull from here? Now, let me just look ahead. Okay. Next time, we can do some now, but next time, I'd encourage us to look through the four epistles. You'll see them in sequence here. And see if you can pick a particular concept or topic. And then by reflection and or looking through each epistle, go through the Hebrew epistle, 13 chapters, that's kind of a long one, and Ephesians, Colossians, and Galatians, and then type down a word or a reference to the same one that happens to be in here. So that's what we would do. That hopefully makes sense to us. Let me go back to the previous panel. The paragraph's a little bigger. Let's pick one and then jump into Hebrews. Is this big enough or should I make it bigger? Well, I think the previous one is there. That's big enough. Let's pick a topic or concept in 14 through 18 that we'd go look for parallel passage or a topic and similarity and or identical or concept parallel passage. Again, you can get help from if you need help, from Power Bible and or Blue Letter Bible and so on, as you look up. A lot of times you can get them from the word usage or topical textbooks and things like that. Does anybody need a refresher of that type of tool we have just with Power Bible? You'd have similar in Blue Letter Bible. Anybody need a refresher there? No one's raising their
hand. I don't.
Okay. Or as the gentleman last night would shout through the microphone, well, when you're ready then, thumbs up. Not that that was irritating.
Little.
Marcia missed out on that. But. All right. Somebody grab a topic, concept. There's one. Just think of something in Hebrews that might pop into your head. I grabbed that one. It's pretty evident. Or evil one. Or world's goods. Or little children. Deed and in truth are examples of that. Eternal life. Murder. Abiding in him. The message from the beginning. It's full of them. Generally, it's like, okay, I can, that kind of might be over there in Hebrews. I don't know if it means the same kind of thing I have in 1 John, but it's worth exploring it. We know. I'll give us a few more seconds and then I'll grab one. Well, grab the one I highlighted. The world hates you. Does that appear anywhere in the Epistle of Hebrews? Or something like that. Or something that could complement it, help us understand it, see it illustrated. World hates you. I'm picking this one because we went there last week. All right, so verses 32, 33, 34. In my mind, I see a relationship here to an illustration of that the world hates you as God's people. So I'll read them. You may not see that. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, they became Christian people, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on the prisoners, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better position and an abiding one. So we have the world hates you, then we also have an illustration of 16, 17, and 18, possibly compassion on the prisoners. Accepted the plundering of your property for their sake. So we can go with two of them. Let's just go with the first one. So does that make sense in relation? Could that be something and help me further understand the world hates you? I mean, somebody might come to 1 John, and I don't know how someone actually can be know the Lord too long before we realize that the world's not a comfortable place for love of Christian people by our fellow man. Recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, sometimes being partners with those who treated. It seems to be the suffering that the author's writing about is inflicted upon them. It isn't sickness or illness necessarily. Those indeed can be sufferings, but it looks like it's coming from outside that he's tapping into experience that these believers had after they were enlightened in abuse, affliction, publicly exposed to that, and enduring a hard struggle with those kind of sufferings and so on that was inflicted upon them by the world. Anyhow, that's a possible interpretation. So I'd put this down on the box in Hebrews there. I'll put the reference chapters 10, 32, and 33 as an example of or illustration of the world's abuse to God's children. Is that fair?
Yep, it is.
Okay. I will do that then. Maybe. Yes, I will. So, make a box here. So, Hebrews 10, 32, 33.
We also have an indication of that.
Yes.
In 11:36. And 36, 37, 38.
Okay, so 11:35.
Yes.
Through 38?
Yes.
And what would you say it is? Is it's an example? Why don't you read it for us?
Starts in 35. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourgings, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
Good. That description okay, Curtis?
Yep.
Let's bold this so we can see it. Great. Thank you, Curtis. So those are two examples of that the world hates you in Hebrews. Let's jump back there and see if we can think of, I'm going to lose our page here. Can we think of, these are pretty practical, down-to-earth stuff. Can we think of, is there anywhere in Hebrews that it's why they're hated? This is examples that they're hated and so on. Is there any that you can think of in Hebrews or might find or stumble upon that, oh, this could be interpreted that this is why they're hated? that's actually written, you know, like, this is why they're doing this to you, my people. Kind of. I'm just going to jump up, and as long as we're sitting here, check chapter 12. Let's see. Right here is this doesn't exactly, this is an example in regard to the severity and the world's response to a child of God. But it doesn't say the why. The chapter 12 does, because he says it's, he describes it in this context. So we could connect them together, saying that the Lord allows this because of, this is what he's doing. That type of endurance, treating us as sons and so on. But are there, is there a more explicit statements that you might think of in regard to the world? Like the world saying, we hate you because. They did do that to Jesus, right? They said, why? You say you're the Son of God? Making you ask God and you know, that type of abuse.
I have to read through it again.
Yeah, I think as you, hopefully these are a couple illustrations of taking a phrase or a concept or topic and seeing, well, what's Paul do with this? What's the Holy Spirit through Paul or through, who else do we have in, on the author of Hebrews? I guess that's the only two authors we have in the quad, Paul and author of Hebrews. Besides John, of with the same Spirit, same Lord, same life, same experience, planet Earth, and how some of these things are phrased and might expand on or develop, help our confidence or assurance or awareness, and you know, however we might categorize that stuff. So yeah, read through Hebrews first, then take the next one, I think, which is Ephesians, and then Colossians, Galatians. And let's just move our way through. We'll try to get through all of these, and it might take us a couple of weeks. You may never get out of Hebrews. I haven't in all the years. I'm still in there somewhere. And actually, once in a while, I bump into myself, but. Okay. That's it for today. Any questions, you guys?
No.
Oh, we did well. We got prayers done, and we I think we pushed our way behind the paragraph to the mind of the Holy Spirit and tapped into some of the things and some of the tools he uses in regard to the life that we have, that he's bringing us to this confidence and the full assurance of faith, the Sabbath rest in this life. And exposing us to different ways that the Lord uses the life that we have and the world that we live in to show us not only the dependability, but the absolute awesomeness of participation with God and having his life resident in us, and the benefit is to those that we're surrounded with. All right. I think today's worthy today. I think it is. was quite nice. All right, let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for joy of our study today, and dear Holy Spirit, for insight and spiritual perception and expanding our comprehension in the wonder of your presence, your person, your indwelling, your sharing of your life to such a degree that we can know it as our very own, and your living and your active life, that we indeed are no longer separated from our God, but you have made us one with you. I ask you to bless our week and make our lives ones that are radiant with the expression of your person and the joy of living each day as we might walk with our fellow men, and make each day one that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all, folks.